Blog Talk Radio.
Assessment on the first 100 days of Donald Trump presidency.
And we'd like to have you to join in at 818-337-0016. Michelle, your views and comments on these basic issue topics. Like always, we'd like to welcome everyone, and we'd like to say hello to our editor, screen contributor, Emmanuel. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages in History. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
And along with Emmanuel, we also like to bring in one of our members, Susie. We'd like to welcome Susie also to Missing Pages in History. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening.
We got a listening audience. Always, when we talk about Missing Pages history, one of the things we want to do is fill in on Missing Pages. Let's get started right now, Emmanuel. What would you like to share with the listening audience as relates to our Black Mini Facts today, Emmanuel?
Well, let's talk about our heroes and heroines. Going back to this, the particular, the peculiar institution called slavery. In 1739, near Stone Oak River in South Carolina, a black slave named Cato, C-A-T-O, he led a major slave revolt. Cato tried to escape to the Spanish border through the Southern Underground Railroad. Most folks don't know that the Southern Underground, it was the Northern Underground Railroad. He escaped basically to the Southern Underground Railroad. In 1822, Denmark Vesey, a slave in Charleston, South Carolina, he won $1,500 in the lottery. Back in 1822, a lottery. He used the money to buy his freedom, then planned the nation's best organized slave revolt. I'm going to give you one more. Between 1831 and 1840, black Seminoles, Indians, they were black, and black Maroons fought the Second Seminole War, the longest war this nation in history, the longest war. Back to you,
okay. Thank you, Father Emmanuel. Susie, what are some of your Black Mini Facts for today?
Okay, my Black Mini Facts is basically, since we have a lot of African Americans graduating from college, I'd like to, all my facts will deal with in reference to education in some form. First one, during the 1930s, painter Charles Alston founded the 306 Group, which convened in his studio and provided support and apprenticeship for African-American artists. And some of those artists included Langston Hughes, who was a sculptor, Augustus Savage, and media mixed visionary Romare Bearden. That's just one. The next one is a female science fiction author, Octavia Butler, who was dyslexic. But despite her disorder, she went on to win the Hugo and Bella Awards for her writing, as well as a genius grant from the MacArthur Foundation. And finally, the last one for today, at a time when universities did not typically offer financial assistance to black athletes, African-American football star Ernie Davis was offered more than 50 scholarships. And those are just three mini facts of our history dealing in some form of education.
Thank you, Susan, for your Black Mini Facts. And what we're going to do right now, we've got transition to our breaking news segment. And when we talk about breaking news, Black Alert, our audience on displays a place of significance. One of the things we like to get a critique on is the firing of James Comey, who was the FBI director. He was fired on May the 19th. Now, Emmanuel, can you tell us what is your take on this firing of Comey? What's the significance of that?
Well, I believe the significance of that was basically to stop the Russian, you might say, the pre-war election thing they have done that undermine our electoral process. And he was digging in. He asked for resources to dig even more. And like I said before, all trails lead to the White House. Doing the same thing that Nixon did, basically. Supply everybody that's in the line that can basically, when it's coming to him. So the significance of that was, basically was that Donald Trump, that did it, say he did it on his own, a lot of lies, what happened, he got recommendations on. No, he didn't get recommendations on his own ballot, that he did it on his own. He also said, because the Russians, they are doing some things, he feels they're doing some things they shouldn't be doing, the FBI, the CIA, whatever, that they should be investigating him. Of course, he had dinner with the FBI, called me and he asked him three times, was he being investigated? Well, you can't do that when you're doing that. But the main thing, he's undermining the system, he's active. That's an impeachment process, basically. Of course, you're impeding the justice system from doing their job, and that's what he's doing. Same charge that Nixon got, impeding the system. And by firing people in line, he's fired three people. He fired the judge and the district judge of New York. So he's going to keep him. When he started digging through his finances, things he's digging into, cover up, he fired him. Then it turned the assistant, the acting attorney general, Miss Yates. He went and fired her. She gave a great testimony. These people are smarter than he is by a long shot. He's not close. He's a failed businessman, first of all. Bankrupt for six times, you call yourself successful. A billionaire don't make it, if you're involved in 500 corporations and companies, sits on the board and owns close to 500 companies, you should have more than $3.8 billion. I mean, you're doing a lot of, all the money you got filed from bankruptcy. You haven't made no profit, basically, in a sense. So my final take on that is that this is not the end of this FBI thing. FBI had attention for 10 years, and he only served four because he was basically doing this Russian issue that he's getting involved in. And the FBI was trying to see if there's a cover-up or that there was any type of enhancement on the part of Donald Trump and his associates and his campaign. He was trying to make sure that Donald Trump's campaign wasn't a part of the Russian payoff or the Russian payola. But that was a very negative part on Donald Trump, one of the big boo-boos of any administration doing some of this magnitude. You find the person that's investigating you. You really can't do that, but he did it. Because, of course, FBI director, he served in the presence of, and also he served in the presence of the president. That's his appointment. You can choose anybody you want to choose, basically, and get affirmed. But that was the breaking news. Why would you? That's bad advice somebody gave him. In the middle of the investigation, how could you? Why would you? That is why. And I told you why. Getting too close to him. All trails of investigation lead to the White House. Hope I answered that for you, host.
Emmanuel, I would like to get your take on this question, the perception of what's going on with the presidency. And I'd like my listening audience to get their take on it as well. It seems to be that as a president, Donald Trump is under the perception that he's too big to be touched. How is he allowed to get away with all these violations? And there seem to be no consequences.
Well, what's going on? He has the House. He has Supreme Court, basically, which got this new apartment when he stole from President Obama. And he's the president. He has the three bodies, judicial, executive, and legislative branch. They basically own all three. It would be very difficult for him to be impeached. Because he's got this train. And they're going to ride this train. Well, they know he's stupid. They know he's dumb. They know this. They're going to take advantage of him just like they took advantage of Nixon. They took advantage of Bush. Guys took advantage of Ronald Reagan. Guys who are not that smart. But they win the right people, you might say. Let me say the white people they win. That are basically uneducated where the red states are. The electoral, he didn't win the popular vote. He lost by over almost 3 million votes. So he's not popular. He's trying to be a populist president. But that's my take on that. They get away with it, no consequence at the moment, because if the House has to bring impeachment proceedings against him, and he ain't got nobody going to do that over there. Nixon got impeached. You know, Goldwater, these guys stood up and said, no, we're not going for this. And they walked his butt over and he got impeached. Not the same kind of thing that he's doing. It's probably, but this thing, his main focus is to try to do everything that, you know, that President Obama put in place. He's trying to destroy his legacy. You can't destroy his legacy. He served 8 years. So you can't destroy those 8 years. So you can't, he's trying to destroy things that he did. Everything he's done, basically, he's writing executive orders for him. Everything. So far, I think he's done over 30-some executive orders in his first 100 days. But like I said again, the people have to understand where he's coming from. He's coming from a dictatorial point of view, same as Putin.
Speaking on trying to score someone's legacy, let's talk about the legacy he's trying to create. Give me your critique of his first 100 days. How would you assess Donald Trump's first 100 days?
Well, I'm going to give you a narrative on that. It's a copy of this. He only had one, basically, and that was appointment of Judge Gorsuch. That's the only company he really had, except right to executive orders. Well, I'll put it this way. Trump has learned his first 100 days in office that war is the primary mark of presidential legitimacy. War. He got to understand it. He don't understand it yet. The war party, which is the Republican Party, anti-Russia campaign has crushed any hopes of lessening international tensions. Now, where Obama succeeded in neutralizing the left, Trump is succeeding in dropping all so-called populist pretense in favor of the warm embrace of the ruling elite. This first 100 days has been basically a mess. And what he's doing is U.S. imperialism, domestic agenda. That's his agenda. Domestic agenda, things he's going to do. I'll get to that later. Has carried his own sort of brutality through the erection of the mass black incarceration state and national security state apparatus. These two things that they're basically emphasizing, plus I'll tell you about the war. This is where he's at, basically. The health care thing, I'll get to that later also. But this is what he's at. But again, we're looking at imperial capitalism. It's always been a tight drain to believe that Donald Trump would be an anti-war president. He's a pro-war president because wars make money. Peace don't make any money. However, I'm going to get to this. The bankrupt coverage of his ascendancy only weakened the already infantile left. rather than discuss the concrete positions of his campaign. You might say the corporate media, and you might say the Washington Hitchman, guys who follow him, who lies for him, who basically second his lies, has helped steer legitimate issues with Donald Trump's racist, sexist character into acceptable means of protest. We saw the protests in his first 100 days. Protests around the world and major cities here in the United States. Furthermore, I add something to this. An anti-Russia campaign was started by the two-headed wall party, the Republican Party, to stall any hopes for EU relations with Russia and end to regimes, changes, you might say wars around the world. See, few people paid attention to Donald Trump's campaign positions. When he's serious, they didn't take him serious. Don't take him serious now. What do you say? Come back and change the next day. We have no way he's going to do. He's a pathetic liar, so you got to deal with that. He's not getting a challenge. Like you say, he's not getting too much of a challenge. How are you getting away with it? Again, he controlled everything. But the gravest challenge facing humanity at this juncture is the threat of the U.S.-led nuclear war with Russia, China, and North Korea. This is where the pulse is now. U.S. imperialism have been on the path over a decade, even through the Obama administration. But it is testified by Obama to Asia and NATO. And, of course, he talked to Russia about his borders. So Trump's campaign promises push back against those policies. He pushed against those peace. He don't like peace. Like, again, peace don't make any money. See, Trump's stance proved unacceptable to the ruling class. See, after inauguration, Trump promised to intensify the broader war on undocumented workers or to roll back protection for women became a secondary problem. See, campaigned on that, building a wall, immigration policies, national security. This is what he did. See. But the bottom line is the war party, the Republican Party, all cared about resuming its drive to war with Russia, China, North Korea. And say again, he's probably along those lines now. And so what's going on right now is that Trump's campaign the first 100 days, the United States imperialist system operates in the interest of a particular class, ruling class, not a single individual. See, whether or not Ronald Reagan meant what he said, or he didn't mean what he said, like he don't do what he said half the time, the prospect for his relations with Russia struck fear in the eyes of the dominant class. He put fear in these red states, things he's going to do. See, so what's happening right now is that he has put his influence in Russia, sort of embracing them, China, and Eurasia, and Europe. But once again, he placed this country the crosshairs of U.S. imperialism. See, because Russia no longer accepts a neo-colonial status in the world as it did immediately under President Obama. They got a weak guy in the president, or they're going to make him go into war. So the ruling class make up a lie ruling class make up a lie and made it quick about Trump's, all of Trump's things that Trump is doing and his connection to Russia in order to compensate for the real fear of Yeltsin imperialism declining in the world. Now, as I say this last paragraph, I'm going to go back to the host. U.S. imperialism utilized the war party as a primary tool to fight off the inevitable decline of its economic and military influence. We're declining in both of these areas. So the United States capitalist economy has been contracting for decades due to its own internal contradictions. See, the China market, socialist economy, that was a socialist economy that was surpassed the United States by 2018. And to give you a contrast, before I move to you to host a movie, you'll contrast so you can understand what I'm saying. See, the GDP, a half a century ago, 50 years ago, United States economy made up 50% of the world's GDP. We were 50%. We're not anymore. The monopolization of the United States capitalist system and the rise of the most consolidated finance capitalist class in history occurred in the midst of a decline when Trump talked about manipulating currency, China manipulating the currency. These developments facilitated a project of endless warfare and military expansion at the expense of everything but the profits of the rich. Back to you, host.
You know, you're talking about fighting these men in walls. Now, when we talk about fighting men in walls, I think people need to look at what impact would the walls have on this economy, what impact would it have on the mass, and on the world at large. What kind of impact effects could be a result of having all these walls, man? Children come in.
Well, what's going on with that is that the expansion of the war has paralleled the increased misery of the masses in the U.S. and world at large. What you just talked about. Oh, U.S. imperialism, domestic agenda, has carried its own sort of brutality through the erection of the mass black incarceration state and the national security state apparatus, like I said before. These two things they're concerned about. Everything is built around these two. I think the DOJ, made an offer today. I'm giving time, extensive time, a maximum amount of time to the masses that's already in jail. The mass they're talking about are the dominant group. They're talking about actually black people. Make sure you lock them up for a certain period of time. Make sure you extend them. We're already 7.5 years in prison long for the same thing that, you know, the white person did. 7.5 years. Where are we going to now? 15th, this again, Obama and I think Holder said for less violent crime or nonviolent crime to lessen the sentence per se. But they're going to make sure they extend this to be the longest sentence. And who are they talking about? They're talking about black incarceration. And they're talking about mass black incarceration. So what we're talking about again is that every U.S. citizen is under electronic surveillance by some intelligence agency, whether it's the NSA, the CIA, FBI, all of the above. So again, there's the intensification of state repression and racism has become necessary in a period where the capitalist economy is in a permanent state of contraction. Why? Well, technology. See, technology and the expansion of war has made a system of profit accumulation so productive fewer workers are required for production. especially black workers. Especially black workers. Technology has made the system, the capitalist economy, you might say, in the system of profit accumulation so productive fewer workers are required for production. Again, especially black workers. So in the U.S. labor participation rate, we're stuck at 63%. That's where we are. And fewer for the racially oppressed. So state repression had become all the more important to the realization of the necessary social peace required for capitalist accumulation. Social. It doesn't work. War works. So again, we're talking about whether it's caused all of this. See, it's an increase in long-term unemployment that will not stop the declining U.S. capitalist economy from pursuing the privatization of the public sector. They're going to privatize most everything because we're going to go beneath China in 1 year. We're going to go beneath China as far as GDP concerned in 2018. I remember what I just told you. And on the way that capitalism is going to survive is privatization for the system to work. You got to privatize things so the rich can stay rich, and they're going to privatize. The rich are going to be able to do this without a problem with Donald Trump in there. He knows it. So this country is being run like a business now. It's going to be the have and the have-nots. And we have to understand that. But it's affecting everything. Because see, what's going to happen in the long run, you have no purchasing power. Everybody's basically unemployed to a certain extent. To give you what you want, just enough to necessary, you have to go to the store, little bit you got. There'll be no savings. All that's going to be going away. All the billionaires and millionaires going to have money. The middle class, they're going to wipe that out, basically. You talk about the Soviet Union all over again, being in America. And who's going to be wiped out? The middle class and the poor will be wiped out totally. So if I need to reiterate anything to you about that, but this is what's happening, people. Understand, listeners, that privatization is coming in different forms. It's going to be an educational system. Prison system is already there. It's going to be in our natural resource system. That's already there. So, again, things are going to happen a little bit different. Because wages are falling. You're not worried about the minimum wage. See, fewer people are able to purchase what is produced. This creates an irreconcilable crisis under the consumption that eventually leads to an economic collapse. The present state of capitalism has rendered such a condition permanent since at least the early 1980s, leading to the levels of privatization and the realms, the one I'll name you again, and the realms of education, healthcare, you see what's going on with healthcare now, transportation, and municipal services nationwide to compensate.
You know, Emmanuel, when you talk about this increase of privatization, we're going to have a station break. Then we'll let our callers call in and let our views and comments on the subject. When we talk about this privatization increase, many people are saying that the U.S. imperialism is on the stage of planning. What do you make of that? Is imperialism in the stage of declining? If just the reason why they are behaving the way they're behaving.
Everybody knows, doesn't know anything about, what's going on with capitalism. Capitalism builds on certain things. Some it's built on the have and the have not. That's how capitalism works. And you got to put somebody in prison. Because, again, what it costs to incarcerate a person, $105,000 minimum per year in the federal prison. $105,000. You can go plus, plus, plus in case they get sick and play to escape. All these plus, plus adds to it. You got to keep the prison fixed up, you know, repair it all the time, everything else. You got to keep it full at the same time. So if you don't keep it full, then the taxpayers be a double burden on them. They paying for an empty cell, and they paying for another person that's not, when the cell is empty, then it costs them about $65,000 a year because you ain't feeding them, things you're not doing. Not that, that particular toilet not getting flushed. So all those kind of things add up. So again, the taxpayer pay when there's nobody in that cell. As they privatize, the price is going to go up because the government is paying. So taxes have to go up. They get the money somewhere, but to make sure that the billionaires don't go broke, they've got to do tax reform. Because it doesn't work without tax reform. Capitalism does not work without tax reform. So the lust to fulfill the insatiable lust for capitalist profits on the part of the ruling class. To each passing day of Donald Trump's administration exposes the war parties, the Republican Party, deep control over the state apparatus. They put more stuff on the state as you see now. They want to put the health care on the state. So they're going to get closer to the people now, control that more. Make sure you don't touch their money. But again, go ahead and ask your question, Coach.
Okay, what we're going to do right now, listen, audience, we're going to take a station break. When we come back, we're going to actually join in on the discussion as we talk about the first 100 days of the Trump presidency. And what we realize at this point in time is that we need to come up with a new way of teaching our children. So pause on this call, and we'll be right back and we'll take your phone call. At 818-837-0016, please hit 1, and we acknowledge your question or comments. Let's take a station break, and we'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History.
Take it.
history. We are discussing the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. If you have any views or comments on the subject, we would like to invite you to call in at 818-337-0016. We have quite a few people that have been holding on for a while, and I believe they have some comments they'd like to make. So we'll go to our first caller. Caller, you on line 6057. Caller 6057. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. What do you think about
thanks
Donald
for having me.
Yes, caller.
Yes. I think what is happening is the fact in response to imperialism's crisis, the political repression of the masses of the people is intensifying worldwide, and so is the resistance to it. And I think that some of the policies that Trump has pursued, particularly the recent firing of the Comey as FBI director, partly draws attention away from the damage that that current U.S. policy is doing in Africa and Asia in particular. Let's see, the resistance is going to intensify. What is lacking, I think, is lack of unity among the masses of people, particularly among Africans, in response, to this situation. But I concur with some of the points Brother Manuel made in regard to, the reason why the wars are intensifying is to gain control of land and also to make profits for the weapons manufacturers.
Okay, caller, thank you for your comments. We put you on hold. If you want to come back in, please hit 1. Let's go to our next caller. We are coming to caller 6029. Caller 6029, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, my comment is this. I think in order to understand the insanity that we call politics in this country, we have to understand the role billionaires play in terms of financing the current system. One of the problems is that because there's a disparity between the have and the have-nots, those few with tons of money can use that surplus of money to actually corrupt the whole political process. In the process, you got organizations like ALEC, the American Legislative Executive Committee, to actually go around creating ways in which, in terms of gerrymandering becomes the norm. In other words, you fix these districts to ensure that they're right wing leaning, or in other words, to become Republican. And so, therefore, given the reality in terms of the kind of apathy that exists among the populace, those few Republicans out there actually turn out to vote, and an overwhelming number of people who are disenchanted don't vote. So, therefore, we've got to talk on some level about the kind of conspiracy that's taking place in society in terms of, the disproportionate amount of power that a few people have. So I think Trump is just an extension of that kind of corruption that generally exists in American society. So unless the people wake up and organize and create a new paradigm, then we can anticipate more of the same. So that's my view.
Thank you for your comment, Colin. We'll put you on hold. If you'd like to say something else later on the program, feel free to hit 1. Emmanuel, you have heard the response. Any comments you'd like to make toward the comments that you just heard?
Yeah, everybody said everything that I'm amplifying exactly what's going on as far as capitalism is concerned. What has to happen is that the president, again, he's making sure that the haves keep having, the have-nots keep, they're not going to have anything. See, Trump's, what has he learned his first 100 days? Well, again, the mark of the presidency, of course, is presidential legitimacy, is war. War is the primary marker of a presidential legitimacy. Because, again, the ruling class was always less concerned about Trump's campaign promise to end the trade
agreement to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border than foreign policy. Trade agreements to make sure we take care again the monopolies out there who has trade agreements in place. They're going to do anything with those. You see what he's doing. His company got 39 patents in China. Why are we talking about American jobs here when we're talking about making stuff in China? We owe China a lot of money. And that's the leverage they got on us. They won't tell you that. So again, you once in office, Trump understood when people he put in office, Wall Street guys, economic populism. And they would actually run the realities of the world capitalist system. This is what they got in. They got a system in there. See, the free movement of capital is imperative to the profits monopolies. And there was one called in, so he said, capitalism now operates on a global basis. And technology makes that possible. It advances the system. So there's no turning back from this, from the current race to the bottom. Again, see, Trump's immigration board has run its reality. I've already fully, it's gone. That wall was nothing but a PR plight for the ruling system. That's all that wall was. That's all that was. Not going to change his tune on foreign policy. Not going to change his tune at all. See, I'm going to say one more thing. I'll say one more thing before I let someone else call in. See, Donald Trump's call to end free trade agreements angered capitalist economists. That's the reason. See, he wants to curtail some of genes because we have our foreign policy and our foreign agreements. They make us what we are. Look on anything you buy and see where it's made. Look where it's made. You can't make that here at the same price they're making it for. You got people making 40 cents an hour, making, LGs, making Samsung. I mean, that's what they do, making car parts now. Some of them are actually making a whole bunch of car parts. You get a fender to an automobile, runs $75. They sell it to you for, $1,000 here? You have an accident or something, they sell the whole fender to you? It's made for $25 to $75. Can't get that done here. So understand the trade agreement. The ruling class right now, foreign policy has going to do with trade and trade only. Make them bring more profits into the monopolies. Go ahead, host.
What I'd like to do, we have a memo line. Susie as a female. I'm really curious in terms of how she views the first 100 days of Donald Trump. Susie, how do you view the first 100 days of Donald Trump, particularly as a woman? As a woman, how do you view it?
The main thing that it's disturbing to me is with them passing that Trump health care and the way they went and the senators didn't actually read the actual proposal for the health care and going through it and looking at the 50 options that's going to be involved with if this thing passes. Hopefully it doesn't pass through Senate. But anyway, it affects basically issues that affect women more than they do men. And that was very disturbing because a lot of the some of the 50, it didn't really include that these were ongoing problems for women. These were problems like if they get raped, if they need help, if pregnancy and issues like that. And it's real disturbing to know that so many of those things really attack the women, the American women, and what we have to go through.
Manny, she's speaking to this whole question of trying to reappeal the so-called Obamacare, particularly around the issue of pre-existing sickness and stuff. What's your take on that?
Well, what happened, see, in Massachusetts, when it first began, the health care program first began, 97% of the people in Massachusetts have health care. Well, 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 we copied that one. Well, the hospital costs, if you lower the drug costs, because doctors got the right prescription, they have to do that. We have so much to take care of here to keep everybody happy. This is coming very historic now because, again, we're talking about the money involved. They sabotage Obamacare. They're basically trying to sabotage it, basically. They have enough these companies coming out divorcing themselves from Obamacare because they want Obama to have this. And Trump and his boys are doing this. Okay? The thing the Republican Party is doing this. They're trying to push something through that we know is going to cost us probably close to $1 trillion a year. It's going to become one, right now it's one-sixth of our budget is health care. It's going to become almost half our budget if they get their hands on it. Doctors are charging more. Hospitals are billing more. They're only going to treat you more and more and more. And where's it going to come from? He trying to do tax reform. The money going to come from the middle class and the lower. Again, people won't have it. They're going to throw 24 million people off. They're going to privatize Medicaid and Medicare. So these are things they're going to do. The truth remains, and this is a historic opportunity. And we got to connect the issues of war and peace with the economic base that produces the conditions of capitalism. The capitalism is supposed to provide economic relief only for a few, not for the masses. And you get that from two areas. You get it from health care, and you get it from the prison population. This country spends $350 billion per month. African Americans get about 7% of that. $350 billion, we get 7% of that. 7% of that. So when they talk this crazy stuff, that we're getting this and getting that, they're getting all this money. They're going to make sure that they get all of this money. I'm going to say it again. They're going to make sure they get all of this money. You only get 7%. I can name those places where you get money. You get a little bit of money. It shouldn't cost $105,000 per year to keep somebody in prison. 2 years you can buy a house. Some places you can buy a house for $105,000. And you got to do this for 20 years, 25 years, the way the Attorney General is talking. So we're going to have to get the money from somewhere. And the money's in three places. Social Security, it's in Medicare and Medicaid. That's where the money is. But you're not going to touch the military. So that's where we are, people. Understand the economics of capitalism. Who gets the money? Who's going to get the least amount of money?
Okay, what we're going to do today, at this point, we wind it down for this program. We're going to let our callers make a final statement in 1 minute or less. And then, Emmanuel, we're going to actually do a summary on the theme tonight. Right now, we're going back to call at 605-7. Your last comment for today, call at 605-7.
The masses of the people need to organize. That's the only way we're going to counter the impact of imperialism on our communities.
And thank you, caller. Going to call at 6029. Your final thoughts for today's program, caller 6029.
Yeah, the real problem, I think, is that Donald Trump reflects the values and the opportunism of a few people. And so, therefore, allowing him to reflect the values of the ruling class, he's not in jeopardy of being impeached. I think that what's going to happen, they're going to instruct him how to be more efficient in terms of the message that he delivers and the way he does things. So I think the bottom line is that people have to organize and wake up, because if we expect the system to change, then we're fundamentally flawed in our thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Carly. And Susie, tell us your final thought for the night. Two final thoughts for the night.
Basically, between the two gentlemen that spoke, basically, I think they pretty much put it in, put it away that what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to just be able to work together and then really take a firm look at everything on how we're going to find a way of making, putting ourselves in a good position. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle.
Thank you. Emmanuel, give us a summary from today's theme in which you want the people to remember the moment. Emmanuel.
Well, it's not matter that much what Trump does, basically. He's very disingenuous about his foreign policy and remarks on the campaign trail. The mere utterance reminds me of the United States imperialist system of Russia and China in the world, which include a budding alliance between two big powers that threatens to reconstruct global economics at the expense of United States finance. The only way that the ruling class can accept Trump, only if he distances himself from Russia and China.
Okay. On that note, we'd like to thank the audience for allowing us to come to their homes today and sharing information with you. This is Missing Pages of History. We come on a biweekly basis. Our next program will be on May the 27th from 1 to p.m. Please share that with your friends. Also, we'd like to congratulate our recent winners on our quarterly raffle drawing. Our recent winners was Haiti Andrew. We also had a Patty Robinson and a Jabari Robinson. Those were our winners of our most recent quarterly raffle drawing. And our next drawing will be July the 15th. So we encourage you to contact a memo. You can purchase your tickets now. And also remind you that upcoming September 13th of this year, we'll be doing our live telecast on Comcast TV, as well as we want to share with you, encourage you to go and check out our website at www.mphinc.org, where we will give you upcoming activities, tell you how you get involved, and how you can support us. Until next time, remember that this is Missing Pages of History, and we must continue to fill in our missing pages of history, because if we don't, who will? So until next time, we'd like to leave you with this message, is that if they don't care about you, we must care about us. So we end with the song by Michael Jackson. All they want to do is that they don't care about us, but we must care about ourselves. And the best way we can do this is come together as a people, organize, and fight against the various forms of oppression. Until next time, remember, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history.
antenna.
You have been listening to Missing Pages of History. The theme for this program was the first 100 days of Donald Trump. You can catch us on May the 27th on the next program. And we'd like to remind you, our planned givers, supporters, and friends and allies, that you can check out our upcoming activities by going to our website, which is www.mphinc.org. Until next time, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We'll see you on the 27th of May.